Reading is in Ephesians 3 and starting at the 14th verse. For this reason I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in the inner man, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, and that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ which surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled up to all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do far more abundantly beyond all that we ask or think, according to the power that works within us, to him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Bow with me in prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you so much for this blessed Sabbath. We thank you, Lord, that you've seen fit to have that as part of your plan for mankind, and that you set the first example of the way to do this in resting on that seventh day of creation. And Heavenly Father, we ask that you will bless this service, bless each word and thought that is expressed. And Heavenly Father, bless the ones that are here. And Lord, be with the ones that's not here, Lord, and place within their heart more of a desire to serve you and to be in your house. And Heavenly Father, we love you and we thank you for all of your blessings to us. In your name of your loving Son, Yeshua, we ask these things. And amen. And I'd like for us to look at the text together. And it's that verse 16 and 17. So let's read again. That he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in the inner man, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, and that you, being rooted and grounded in love. My message to you today is about the inner man. And the title is Inner Man Rebirth. We speak of being born again as we accept Jesus Christ and accept the plan of God in salvation by Jesus shedding his blood, offering that perfect sacrifice for our sins so that we would ever have that way as we fail occasionally. We have that way of asking, going to the Father and asking forgiveness of our sins. And through that blood sacrifice that was shed by God's only begotten Son, Yeshua, then we ever have that way of being restored to him, of standing before him in his righteousness. The Holy Father, in these words of my scripture to you, the Holy Father issues a call to those individuals that are chosen. The Holy Spirit speaks to our hearts and minds. The love of Yeshua comes into our hearts and minds through love and faith. And we become rooted and grounded through the love and knowledge of Him that we receive in God's holy word. All according to the fullness of God and the power that we allow to work within us. This scripture reading lets us know unmistakably that Yahweh wants to do much more within us and through us than we would ever even ask or think. And we might ask ourselves from all of this. We might examine ourselves and evaluate ourselves and ask, how real and active is Jesus Christ, Yeshua? How real and active is He today in our hearts and in our lives? Have you sincerely answered God's call to you? Let's look at Revelation 3 and 20. This is Jesus speaking. We know that because we've read the book of Revelation. And Jesus is speaking. And He's speaking to us. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and will dine with him and he with me. Behold, I stand at your heart's door and knock. Have you heard His call? Have you heard His voice? Have you opened the door? There is no better time than now if you haven't. All who are called do not open the door after hearing His voice or His call. In Revelation, we read of the six churches, and the last one that is spoken of is the Laodicean church. The Laodicean church, in the description of it and of its people, evidently did not develop and cultivate their faith in Yeshua. You know, this walk with God is an everyday walk. It's really an every moment walk. We need to have our thoughts and our mind and our intents and the desires of our heart and the paths that we choose to walk all needs to be in accordance with God's call, God's wishes, God's commands. But evidently, there's churches in the past, there's churches in the present, and there's going to be churches in the future that do not heed the call. They might hear the call, but they don't heed the call because they don't study, they don't develop their life with God and cultivate their faith in God and it's in His loving Son, Yeshua. Yeshua says, and we can read it, you can later read of that Laodicean church that I'm describing in Revelation 3, 14 through 22. But Yeshua says in Revelation 3, starting at 19, verses 19 and 20, Yeshua says, "Those whom I love, I reprove and discipline. Therefore, be zealous and repent." Yeshua is saying, get it together. Remember my words to you. Remember how you first were drawn by the Holy Spirit and your reaction to it. Remember your ways. Remember the paths of old. Some changes may need to be made. And Yeshua is letting us know that you won't be forgotten. That His children will be reproved and disciplined. Let's see what also He advises in Revelation 3, starting at the 15th verse. "I know your deeds," and we're speaking of the Laodicean church now, and the way that they were living their life. And like I said, this has implications in the past and in the present and in the future. There can be churches today that's the same as this Laodicean church that Yeshua is speaking to directly in these verses. And so He's saying to these kind of churches and people, "I know your deeds, that you are neither cold nor hot. I wish that you were cold or hot. So because you are lukewarm and neither hot nor cold, I will spit you out of my mouth. Because you say, 'I am rich and have become wealthy and have need of nothing.'" We should pray that we never fall into that kind of a state of thinking that we have need of nothing, that we have need not of God. Wouldn't that be horrible? But these people were evidently that way. "Because you say, 'I am rich and have become wealthy and have need of nothing,' and you do not know that you are wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked, I advise you to buy from me gold refined by fire, so that you may become rich, and white garments, so that you may clothe yourself, and that the shame of your nakedness will not be revealed, and eye salve to anoint your eyes, so that you may see." To me, that's saying, take stock of yourself. Come to your senses. Realize what you're doing. Your ways need to change. Your habits need to change. You have become, in essence, lost from me, separated from me. You know, the Word says your sins will separate you from Him. We don't ever want anything to get in our way of our walk with our Heavenly Father . And our ears need to be healed. Our eyes need to be healed, that we may see and that we may hear the things that God has for us, so that we may know how to walk with Him. We should have long been past that point. We should have long known and accepted and taken to heart the things that He teaches us in His Word, that we walk in His ways, that we obey His commands, that we keep His statutes and His laws. You know, through all of His advising of these people and these churches that have their various problems, they all close with an upbeat word from Yeshua to these churches. In the respect that it starts, he who overcomes, he who listens to the words that I am saying, that you need to repent. You need to turn from your evil ways and look back to the Father for your help. He who overcomes, he who heeds my word, changes his direction, changes his ways. Let's look at Revelation 3 and verse 21. He who overcomes, I will grant to him to sit down with me on my throne, as I also overcame and sat down with my Father on his throne. He who has ears, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. Isn't that wonderful? The promise that we stay where we should stay with God. What awaits for us. And I can't read all of the six different accounts of what the Word says to those who overcome, but they're wonderful. We'll know new names that we have never heard before, of the Father and of the Son. We will have new names ourselves will be given. It's just on and on. You need to read them. They will bless your heart. From all of this, we see that as we accept Jesus Christ and God's plan for us and mankind, as we accept what He has for us, hardly without exception, radical changes has to take place in our hearts and in our lives. In essence, we become a new person. A rebirth happens. That's why Jesus told Nicodemus, you must be born again. And he didn't mean it to the physical man. He meant it to the spiritual man or woman. He meant it to the inner person, the inner man. And my message to you today is the inner man rebirth. Radical changes has to take place as God and His Son Yeshua enters our heart and life and becomes a part of us. And we, as we continue our walk with them, becoming ever closer to them, and becoming ever more like them and less like our natural self. part of the growth, part of the rebirth into the divine family of God. You are being called from the physical into the spiritual. You are being called from flesh and blood into the most blessed existence that you could possibly ever imagine in the family of God, your Creator. He wants you. He wants you as His son and daughter in the family of God. But radical changes, and I would put permanent radical changes, has to take place. They have to take place to the extent that they become a part of you. Not just something that you experience once every 7 days. But you change. And you become this new child of God. That's what the Heavenly Father wants. That's the intent. That's His call for these radical changes to take place. Specifically, what kind of radical changes? What is a few of them that's supposed to happen, do happen, and should be a permanent change, a permanent part of us? First one is a new joy fills the heart, a joy that we never have had before, and no one can take away. No one can take away your joy, because it comes from your Father God. It comes from Yahweh and His loving Son Yeshua. A new joy fills the heart. Joy in the knowledge that God had an ultimate plan for us, and it was for Him to call us out of the life in which we were in and headed toward, and call us into something much more blessed. A joy in the knowledge of forgiven sin. Let's look at Acts 10 and 43. Acts 10 and 43 and see of this joy that comes to us as we accept God's plan of salvation for us. Of Him, all the prophets bear witness that through His name, everyone who believes in Him receives forgiveness of sin. A new joy fills the heart as we realize God's plan, and that as we recognize our sins of the past and ask forgiveness of them. You know, I think some people seem to think that that happens automatic. I don't believe it happens that way. God has the plan, but He expects something from us. He expects us to heed His call, open our hearts, receive Jesus in, know that with Him we have that hope of becoming righteous before Him, but that involves us recognizing that we had things in the past that need to be spoken to our Father and ask forgiveness of through the blood and sacrifice of Jesus Christ. You know, that kind of thing will never change. It's been in effect ever since Jesus walked this earth, all the way up to this point that we live in. And that blood sacrifice will be absolutely essential and necessary if time goes on for much longer. However long that it goes, that blood sacrifice of Jesus Christ has to be recognized, and only through His sacrifice will those people that come to that point in their life, however long in the future that it might be, just as important that Jesus died for him, for them, and shed His blood. Otherwise, they would not have hope. They would not be forgiven of their sins. But through His blood and His sacrifice, they and us can know that we are forgiven of our sins. Joy that we have forgiven of sin. Joy in knowing that we now become a part of the divine family. Now become a son and daughter of Almighty God. That should give you joy. That comes with this life that God has called you to. And joy in continuing friendship with Yeshua and Yahweh. Let's look at John, the book of John, and go to chapter 15 and start at verse 14. John 15 and 14. You are my friends if you do what I command you. This is Jesus speaking to His disciples and His followers, and to us today, telling us the same thing. And He's calling us friends as we accept Him as our Savior. But do you notice the little word if? Why is it so many people want to take so many things for granted and leave out these little words like if and but? They're important little words. You are my friends if you do what I command you. No longer do I call you slaves, for the slave does not know what his master is doing. But I have called you friends, for all the things that I have heard from my Father, I have made known to you. Does everything that Jesus said and do reflect His experience and His being with the Father? Of course it does. These words and many others let us know all that He does and says is from the Father. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you would go and bear fruit. There's your charge. Hear me, accept me, let my words be a part of you, and then go and help others. You have a charge. Go and bear fruit, that your fruit would remain, so that whatever you ask of the Father in my name, He may give to you. Boy, do you accept that? Jesus said it. He said it to those that loved Him and were His friends. Seems real clear to me, so that whatever you ask of the Father in my name, He may give it to you. This I command you, that you love one another. Love is right at the top of the list of the things that God really wants prevalent and top priority in our hearts and lives is the love. love him, respect him, obey him, hold on to him, and love your neighbor just as preciously and with all the concern for your neighbor as you have concern for yourself and for your own things. That's how God wants you to love your neighbor. And Jesus says, he repeated both of those, love God with all your heart and mind and soul and strength, and love your neighbor. Jesus said those on all two, these two are the greatest of all, and that everything hangs on these two. This was his response to someone that asked him, what's the greatest of the commandments of God? And that was his response. They have to be right at the top of our priority list. So there is joy in continuing friendship as a result of accepting Yeshua in our hearts and lives. There's a new security that comes in, not a security in our natural way of thinking, in that, not that we have a security that, well, I have grandma and grandpa to go to. They'll help me. Not that kind of security in others, not in the security of ourself and our ability to provide whatever or anything. Not security in others, not security in ourselves, not security in materialistic things, but security in our loving Father and His loving Son, and for the plans that they have for us, for the promises that they have made in His Word to us. A new security. And that is it. Thirdly, a new self-worth. And I know everybody that's received Jesus in their heart and life, they have a worth of themselves that they never realized before. All of the searching, all of the buying and spending and getting and wanting, never being satisfied, never really knowing why you came into this world and what the purpose was that you were even born. When you read God's Word and you hear of His plan for you and your life and others, you realize this is what it's all about. It's about our Father Yahweh and His loving Son Yeshua, and about their plans for us and plans that we help draw others and help others to know what we know and to be sons and daughters of Almighty God just as we are. A new self-worth, not on the value that we place on ourselves, and we probably place value on ourselves pretty high, probably undeservingly high, but every one of us do it. But you know, there was one that placed value on us personally, that's above and beyond anything that we could ever do. And that was the infinite love that the Father placed on each one of us. A love so great for us that He was willing to have a part of His plan for His only begotten Son to shed His blood on the cross so that each one of us would have that hope of eternal life, that hope of being in His divine family, being a part in His plan for all eternity. A new self-worth comes. And lastly, a new way of living. A new way of living. And you have to learn it. You have to realize that it's true and you have to accept it and do it. And it's you that decides. You make the decision. And God is letting you know, don't live in the past. You can't do anything about it. It's over. It's done. All you can do is maybe try to learn from it. If you've made failures, God's provided a plan. Accept whatever failures there were. Ask forgiveness of the things that need to be asked forgiveness of. And plead to God Almighty that through the blood of His loving Son, that those sins be forgiven. And they will. A new way of living. Not the past. Not the future. We don't know what the future holds. You're not promised one more day, let alone one more breath. Don't live in the past. Don't live in the future. Live in the now, right now. Right now is your chance. Right now you can do good. Right now you can repent and ask forgiveness. Right now you can make everything right with God. And He calls us to do just that. Accept the plan of God. That the inner man might go through those radical changes that I spoke of. And then in that, in essence, our inner man being reborn. I'd like to close by letting us say our blessing from God's Word to each other, and God's blessing to us. If you would, everybody stand, and let's read this together. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up His countenance on you and give you peace. Amen.